Hey, Matt Vader.
Yes, sir.
What is best in life?
Not this movie. It's the wrong movie, dude. It's the wrong movie. There's no lamentating of the women.
There's in none. This movie. Not this one.
There's a little bit. A little lamentation of the women.
Power Rangers.
There's an underage woman who's very lamenting in this.
Yeah.
She's cute.
Wait, she's underage. Can't say that. She was 14.
I think she's like super young.
I said cute.
I feel
dogs are cute. I said cute cupcakes.
Is she really 14 in this movie?
Yes.
See, now, man, I feel real gross now. Because I used to really.
Not when she filmed it.
No, when she filmed it, yeah.
She was 14. Yeah.
Yes.
It's like.
That is a suggestive 14 year old.
Canceled. Very 14 year old suggestion.
Hey, I didn't make that movie.
No!
All right, everyone. Welcome to the Salty Nerd Podcast. I am hosting today because Alex has been stranded in a foreign country and he can't get back. But we're partaking in a very interesting movie today, which is the sequel to one of Matt Vader's favorite movies of all time,
Conan the Barbarian. Five-star
movie. Also, one of my favorite movies of all time. I'm just going to throw that in there.
Oh.
The original Conan. I have a sword of Conan in my home.
Yes, you do.
I debated bringing it.
Aww.
It's a 10-pound murder weapon. I don't need to drive around with that.
And it's one of those examples of a sequel that falls far short of the original. Mm-hmm. But there are some good things in it, but there are a lot of like strange things in it. We're going to talk about all those things today. But first and foremost, Matt Vader 74, right. How are you, buddy?
Well, you know how I really am, but I'm going to say, I'm great. I'm feeling fantastic. Yeah. That shady mile sitting there is like calling me.
I know.
But I'm good. I'm good. We're going to get through this.
So this is the first of our reviews for Schwartz Lone Gall Timber.
What?
Oh, Jesus. Came up with that.
Where we're reviewing a Schwarzenegger movie, a Stallone movie, a Steven Seagal movie, all in September.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I was wondering why we were watching this movie.
Yeah.
So that's right. You
me
came
too.
Up, he picked all the movies for the next 6 months.
Oh, I know he did.
I think he did.
Oh, yeah. God.
And you're welcome for that. Jude,
hi!
How you doing?
I did pick something for November, though,
that
we're excited for. Right.
Yes, you did.
What did you think of this movie?
Oh, boy. This is, to use a Tom term, it's a movie. I feel like I wanted to like it more than I could. And especially now that I know that she was 14 when she filmed this, it just makes the whole premise icky.
Well, there was nothing very sexual about it, but... we'll talk about it. Sitting in for Alex is Conspiracy Tom, our resident stunt cock. How are you doing, Tom?
Alex called me from Scotland and said, they shut down all air travel. I'm not coming back.
Ever.
Please help me. And I said, I got you, buddy. Have a nice time. Yeah.
Enjoy your action.
And then Matt goes, we're going to watch this movie and this show. And I'm like, fucking thank God. Thank God.
Alex always has the best movies for you to watch.
Yeah. It's like the worst. It's not the worst Arnold movie. I mean, it's not the worst, but it's not the worst Conan either. It's just, it's a tough one to watch.
I don't know about that.
The Momoa one's awful.
I actually kind of like the Momoa.
You would.
So I'm, but I'm.
Yeah, you liked Pathfinder.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
You're never dropping that, are you?
No, Pathfinder fucking sucks. It needs an F word. It needs an R rating to explain how disappointed I was with Pathfinder. It doesn't make any sense.
I need to go watch it again.
Yeah.
I don't remember much about
it. I might be on the hill. I actually kind of enjoyed Conan the Destroyer.
Yeah.
What was interesting about this movie is that, so the producer of the original Conan, I believe it was Dino De Laurentiis.
Uh-huh.
He did not get along with John Milius. John Milius and him butted heads constantly over the making of the original Conan. And when it was time for the sequel, John Milius didn't want to come back and work with Dino De Laurentiis. And the first Conan was such a big hit that De Laurentiis was like, well, we're going to make a sequel. And so they brought in a different director and they mandated that the movie be PG so awful. That it could appeal to a younger audience.
Smart.
Worst decision ever.
So there was a lot less sex, nudity, and gore in this movie.
Yeah.
All three of those things are like quintessential to popular Conan.
You kind of need it for a barbarian movie.
Yeah, I know,
where
right?
the fuck is my gore?
Right.
I thought I was coming to a Conan movie.
Where's my titties? Yeah. I want some titties in my barbarian
tits?
Movie.
Yeah, I need a decapitation. You need those things.
Absolutely.
You need violence.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, Jude. Why don't you tell everyone what Conan the Destroyer is all about?
Gladly. 1984, Conan the Destroyer, rated PG, with a runtime of 1 hour 43 minutes. This had a budget of $18 million. What do you think this brought into the box office? Ugh. Vader?
I wouldn't even be able to begin to guess.
Wider audience, that PG rating.
Wilt Chamberlain.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
30 million dollars.
Okay, Tom?
I would say like 10.
It is an Arnold movie.
$31 million.
That's a good number. That's a good number.
Yeah. He wins a speedboat.
Yeah.
I won the showcase showdown.
Yeah.
Without going over.
Well, the crazy thing about that is that the $30 million, that's more money than the original made. It was actually a bigger success than the original.
That's amazing.
And these are 80s dollars too.
Right.
So like a $30 million budget in the 80s, or gross in the 80s, was actually like really good.
Like Reagan bucks? Was right. Like, wow, these are way more monies.
Yeah, exactly.
So Queen Taramis wants to bring her statue god to life. And it just so happens that her niece is the one prophesied to have the power to do it. All she has to do is stay a virgin while she goes on a horny mission with Conan the Destroyer of Vaginas. Once they successfully return from their mission, the queen rewards her niece by trying to sacrifice her, but Conan comes to the rescue, causing the statue god to turn into a Loch Ness Godzilla monster that Conan must destroy. Discuss.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty accurate.
Something?
Yeah, that's pretty
I love good. Your synopsis. When she doesn't like a movie, they get really short.
Oh, yeah. It's like two sentences.
Which makes editing much easier.
All day yesterday, I was like, oh, I got to write the synopsis for that.
You left out the mirror wizard?
Oh, well.
Yeah, so basically there's this evil mirror queen wizard who recruits Conan to basically kind of shepherd her daughter through these trials where she has to get this magical object to resurrect some weird god that the queen is going to use to basically control the earth. Throughout the course of the adventure, so basically Conan's motivation is because he wants that hot barbarian chick from the first movie to be resurrected.
Right.
Yep.
And so like that's his motivation. The entire time this young princess is like really thirsty for Conan, and like she keeps like,
but she's never seen a real man before. Yeah,
just Bombata.
Yeah, Bombata.
Yeah.
We were saying that, so like that's Wilt Chamberlain's character, the black barbarian guy. We were saying that there should be a drinking game every time the princess says Bombata, you take a drink.
Oh, Bombata.
We would die.
Yeah, yeah, she Bombata says it a lot. Yeah, she's just like screaming it randomly throughout the movie.
Bombata. Bombata.
Well, now that I know that she's a 14-year-old girl,
I feel a little dirty.
Well, it makes more sense that she was so annoying. It just, I thought she was like 25 or something. I don't know.
I thought she was at least like 19, right? 20.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't feel that bad about it because she's the same age as me.
Right now?
When the movie came out, I was 14 as well.
That sounds about right.
So, you know, I could get a little horned up when I was 14 about her. It's fine. But now I can't, looking back at there, but you know. Whatever. It's so gross.
So this movie actually has kind of an interesting cast to it. Sarah Douglas plays Queen Taramis. Mm-hmm. And Vader, what other movie was this actress?
She was the lady in Superman 2. The bad lady. The bad lady, Zod's little henchman lady. I forget her name.
With
her low-cut jumpsuit.
Yes, and her short hair.
The one in Man of Steel didn't really have a name either.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Yeah,
she was in Superman 2. And I guess she was in one, too.
Yeah.
So both Superman movies. Yeah, so that was pretty cool. There's a lot of cool people in this movie.
Yeah, so Pat Roach, who played the big bald Nazi that brawled with Indiana Jones and Raiders of the Lost Ark, he was the ape man that Conan fights in the Hall of Mirrors.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Ape man?
So that's what they called him, I guess.
It was like a lizard guy, kind of. They called that ape? Was he hairy?
I thought
he was kind of scaly.
We're just, you know, that's what
there's
called
a statue who's a god.
Yeah, and those are all over the place.
Gotta get this horn.
There's statues of gods all over the place. That's not even that interesting.
Fair point.
Speaking of gods, so the big kind of like Dagoth, I guess.
Dagoth.
The god that's resurrected at the end. He was played by
Andre the Giant.
Andre
Fuck
the Giant.
Yeah. Oh, is that why he's on set? Because I've seen set photos.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's why he's on
uncredited, but he's in the big rubber suit.
That's a great uncredited scene.
Yeah, it's pretty
honestly
wild.
It makes me like the movie more.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, me too. Wow, that's fun.
Yeah, and Conan's sidekick in this one, the thief Malik, he's played by Tracy Walter, who was the Joker's sidekick in the 1989 Batman.
It's also true, yes.
Pretty cool little character actor guy.
Yeah, but and they got rid of the cool Mongolian guy from the first one and replaced him with this, like, alcoholic, rapey uncle. I don't like it.
Yeah, it was a little weird.
Yeah, that guy looks like he touches kids. It's and like, I'm just like...
Oh, well, he certainly touched Grace Jones.
It would have been.
Yeah. Oh, God. Grace Jones.
PG. It's PG.
Grace Jones PG is terrifying in this, by the way.
Yeah.
It's unsettling to look at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would have. They needed to have Subotai come back for this movie. Wonder where he went. Is there a story about why he's not Subotai? In this movie? He's the archer, the Conan sidekick.
Yeah, the Mongolian guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. He's way cooler.
His name is Subotai.
Yeah, I don't know.
Subotai. Yeah.
Well, speaking of coming back for this movie, so we got the return of. Sven?
Yes, Sven Thorsen.
Yep. Yeah.
That's a great name.
So like his character died in the first movie. So they came back and they just had him wear a helmet this entire movie.
Never see his face.
But he's the one who has the really great, probably only great sword fight with Conan in the middle of the movie.
The best fight scene in the show.
Yeah.
For sure.
And we also have the return of the wizard played by Mako.
Mako.
Yeah, that guy's great. He is that same character in every movie, no matter what the time period is. He is a drunken wizard, and I love it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but it's funny because like in the first movie, you get the sense that like he actually has like some Yoda-ness to him.
Yeah.
And in this movie, he's just useless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's always trying to bounce.
He'll like light a torch with like his fingers and then be like, yeah, that was my magic. Yep. That's all I'm good for.
And that was kind of like the thing about this whole movie. It's like it wants to be a cool fantasy flick, but it can't because they're restricted by the rating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They just, it's impossible to make a cool barbarian movie when you're restricted by what you can put on the screen. I mean,
it's comic relief and I get it. We all understand why R2-D2 is funny. We get it. Right. But you take R2-D2 out. Now we have a very different movie. Right. Mm-hmm. And just like this, it's like, why so much comic relief?
Yeah, because they couldn't do anything else.
Oof. It's cringy.
And everyone involved in the movie knew it and hated it. Yeah. And in fact, this was one of the reasons why Schwarzenegger decided not to come back for a Conan the Conqueror movie, because he had such a terrible experience on this one, because he just didn't like the direction that it was going in.
Look, not to mention Arnold went big time.
Yeah.
Like right now. Like after this movie, he goes... I mean, Terminator's the same year. He goes like into the freaking stratosphere after this.
Well, in fact, he had to delay the start of Terminator, the start of the shooting for the original Terminator, because he was invested in this movie. And that actually worked out for the best, because that gave James Cameron time not only to rewrite the Terminator script, but also develop Aliens and a couple other scripts that he was working on that actually like helped kind of like create 80s cinema.
So what you're saying is, if it wasn't for this dog shit movie and Arnold Schwarzenegger putting a pause on Terminator, we wouldn't have some of our favorite films today?
Exactly.
Is that what you're implying?
It's a butterfly effect.
Yeah. Here we go again.
I feel like he says every time we watch something stupid.
Every goddamn time.
Thank you for making...
Yeah.
If it wasn't for that dog shit movie we watched last week, we wouldn't have any good action movies after 1980.
We wouldn't have Evil Dead.
No, nothing would ever have happened.
Yeah.
Because Kadish made some weird connection, butterfly effect connection.
Everything is connected.
If this is this, and then this, then for this, then for this, then for this. Barack Obama.
What?
Hey, hope and change. but also the girl who plays the princess in this movie, Olivia Diabo. So like this was her first film. Technically, I mean, like she shot another movie that came out like around the same time, a little bit earlier, but because this movie was released first, it's technically her first movie. But she was 14 at the time that she shot this movie. She looks like she's 20.
Oh, yeah.
She does.
Yeah. And
she's got cute little bangs and she's playing.
Oh, she's adorable.
She's
yeah.
playing like this princess in the timeless era.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I looked at her, I was like, that haircut, that hairdo is just adorable in this time period piece. Yeah.
And Vader told me that she was the big sister on The Wonder Years.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's actually gone on to become quite a well-known voice actress as well.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
so
cool.
She voices a lot of like DC characters and stuff like that.
She was in one of my guilty pleasure movies called Point of No Return with Bridget Fonda.
I have never even heard of this movie.
Oh my God, I love that movie so much.
It's a remake of La Femme Nikita. It's the American remake.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. And Wilt Chamberlain. is in this film. Mm-hmm. He was a last minute replacement. Apparently another actor was cast as Bombata and had to drop out.
I love it. Go, Will. I like it too.
He's fun.
He can't act for shit.
No. Right?
and but it's really funny because he's 8 feet tall.
Yeah.
makes Arnold look like a dwarf.
Well,
it is hilarious. The thing that always stands out is like it's from the very beginning of this movie when you see him riding through the desert and stuff. He's bigger than his horse.
Well,
his ankles are like dragging on the ground as his horse is running.
There's a funny story there because like when he was cast and he was last minute replacement, so they didn't have a lot of time to like, you know, prepare for him. All the horses that they have, his feet would literally be touching the ground when he was like sitting on the horse. So they had to go to like Madagascar or something like that and find like a special horse that was big enough for him to ride.
Yeah. He's a mountain man on it.
I think they should have gone the other way. Just put him on a donkey and just made him ride that shit around.
Or just make him run.
Yeah. Oh, that's mean.
Just make him run. He's got a long stride.
The donkey's funny. And then like the princess is like, come on, Bombata, you stupid. And he's just riding this stupid donkey. There's comic relief. I'll take that.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's better.
Be funny.
Yeah, and apparently Wilt Chamberlain and Grace Jones did not get along. Like they were constantly bickering and fighting on the set because they didn't like each other.
Where did Grace Jones come from? Wasn't she an athlete?
I think she was a model or something.
Yeah, she was a model.
Was just a model? That was it?
But she's an actor too.
She started off as a model, got into acting. I think this was her first role. I could be mistaken on that.
I mean, there's something weirdly hot about Grace Jones.
She's very androgynous.
I can't put my finger on. It's very strange. It's very strange.
I definitely can't put my finger on.
I don't know. There's something about her. I don't know what it is, but I'm not saying like she doesn't get me all. She doesn't get me all hot and bothered.
Keep going down this rabbit hole.
But there's something about her that I mean she's famous for a reason, and she's famous because she's a model and she's weirdly hot. I preface that with weirdly. Because nobody can really quite figure it out. You know what I'm saying?
She was Strange in Boomerang.
Yeah.
Mm. Remember Boomerang with Eddie Murphy?
No.
Come on, man.
I mean, I'm trying. I've seen it. But that's about all I can say is I've seen it. I don't remember it. I remember everything from Gremlins to The New Batch.
Yeah.
I don't remember anything from Boomerang. This is why my brain works.
I always get Boomerang mixed up with The Distinguished Gentleman.
I think it's the same movie.
Could be.
The 90s had a lot of like basically the same movie over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. Like it was just that. Mm-hmm. It was like they made four of the same movie. You probably liked one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about the opening scene of this movie, which is basically Conan's in like this quarry, just kind of like meditating while his thief of a sidekick is doing something. But the queen's men, led by Bombata and the queen, but you don't know that yet, show up and they try to capture Conan. And the queen waits for him to like basically slaughter like five or six of her guys before she just kind of comes up and is like, hey, Conan, let me resurrect your dead girlfriend if you do this job for me.
I promise I'll keep my promise. Wink, wink.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because she takes her helmet off and she's like, do you know who I am? And he's like, yes, your queen, whatever. And what was her name?
Taramis.
Your queen, Taramis. And you're just like, well, you know, in the Hyborian age, you know, where like you don't see people. It's like, how does he know that, like, you know, she's the queen? It's not like they have internet or TV or radio.
I think everybody would know who the queen is wherever you're at, right?
She had her heralds come before him on her way there to try to kidnap him.
Yeah. They should have a drawing, like a really bad profile drawing. Like, look at this chick.
Yeah.
Super hot. Like, whoa. Yeah. And she's the queen. Uh-huh. Oh, I get behind that.
But it was funny because there was a scene in this fight scene that just really triggered Jude. And it's a callback from the first movie. So Conan's, you know, fighting these guys on horseback.
Oh, yeah. I remember.
And
it now.
At a certain point, he just like punches a horse in the face.
Why is he punching animals?
That camel spit on him.
Why not?
That camel had it coming.
Well,
I punched a horse before.
He punched that camel in the first movie.
Yeah, that camel spit on him a lot.
And you got it.
That's called assault, that's brother.
That was horrible. Revenge.
Yeah, it is called assault.
Well,
yeah.
Well, they brought that camel back in this movie, didn't they? And the camel was like, it's cool, bro. Right?
Yeah. Yes. I remember you. He was eating a lizard on a stick. Yeah. It's fun.
How dare he hit that camel? It. Make it rated R. He hit the camel.
But it was funny because the guy on the horse was trying to kill him, and so Conan basically just took his horse out in order to, like, you know, keep him from killing him. So I was like, I'm fine with that. I don't know why Jude has a problem. And,
I don't like it.
Animal rights.
This is like one of those things
they're trained animal stuntmen.
Like 100 people die in a movie, and you're like, good. And then, and like one dog misses a meal, and you're like, that poor baby needs 100%. Snacks. Right. Like, yes. He just missed a meal. But he needs love too. Like 100 men died. They're all bad.
Probably all bad.
Kadesh could probably. There was some injuries on set, right?
Oh, I'm sure there were.
I thought you might have researched it, but
no. Yeah. What you didn't know was
butterfly effect.
I heard people when we were watching this in the chat. They were talking about how there was some injuries in the stunt people on set.
Yeah.
I don't think any of the horses got hurt.
It's an action movie. I'm
okay,
sure.
Yeah. I need somebody in the chat right now to tell me if the horse is all right.
Yeah, the horse is fine.
The horses are fine.
It's a horse.
Is the camel okay, too? Because I know he actually punched that camel in the filming of the first movie, and that's fucked up.
They probably did, yeah. But they're filming in a foreign country. They have different rules over there.
Still not okay. It's not okay with me.
Well, let's just get that barometer then and just make sure every movie is made to June.
Schwarzenegger had a very contentious relationship with those camels because they were hard to ride and they were kind of like giving them attitude.
You ever ride a camel?
No.
I rode a camel one time.
How was it?
Awkward.
Didn't call you the next day?
Did you ride on top of the hump?
I felt like it rode me. No, you like sit on like a thing around the hump.
So you like hang
like,
on to
like,
the
yeah,
hump?
They have like a thing. It's like a thing, like a platform.
Like
you sit
a saddle?
On. Yeah, like a platform. Yeah, you can sit up there.
That sounds really awkward.
Yeah, that's what I said. It was awkward. Yeah.
If I was a camel, I'd give attitude too.
Yeah, I didn't want to be there. I was like a kid.
How many humps would you have if you were?
Whoa, there? Take it easy.
She's 14. Maybe.
My lovely lady lumps.
Grace Jones is old enough.
There are two hump camels, right?
There's two and one hump camels. Yeah.
What's the difference?
One has two. One has one. There you go.
That's another conversation.
Yeah.
Why is
Vader
one...
wants to know if one is sexier than the other?
No.
Well, one's the boy. One's the girl.
Is it like tigers and lions, or what's the differentiation between two humps and one hump?
Yeah. Like, you want to make sure they can still breed?
So the jungle camel versus like if they get a three hump? Camel?
I don't know.
A
one and a half hump? What happens?
I don't know. It's weird.
I've seen a liger.
If you're riding a two hump camel, do you like sit in the middle of the two humps?
Probably. I feel like a three hump camel is a lot like Total Recall with a three boobed prostitute.
Like, what do you do with that third then?
Yeah.
Like, I only got two hands.
got your mouth.
I don't know.
That's a good point.
Whatever.
It's just not that creative.
Conan.
Mouth? What?
Yeah. I believe in our review, Vader made a point of how that would work.
Oh, yeah. I did.
I just feel like you have a very special place on this show, sir.
I do.
And it's all...
Anything gets weird or awkward.
That's right.
It's possibly like, canceling, they dump on me.
Everyone just turns to you and like, Vader, go ahead and say it.
It's like, it's fine.
That 14-year-old girl is hot. How old was she? Still pretty cute, though. I was pretty young then.
It's all good.
I was the same age as her when I thought she was hot.
It's okay, because I was 14 first time I said that.
Right.
She's my age. Yeah. Pound rocks. Don't like it? Too bad.
Mm-mm. All right, so Vader, what did you think of this opening scene where Conan gets recruited by the queen?
It was really poorly acted and kind of awkward, and the choreography was really weird with the fight. But, you know, it's PG Conan. What do you expect? It was fine. I don't know what else to say. It was just, we got introduced to the muscles from Brussels with his sword. And
muscles from Brussels is Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Oh, it is Jean-Claude Van Damme. Yeah. Man, I haven't been drinking.
Yeah.
And muscles from Austria.
And
six-time Mr. Universe or something, whatever he is.
Yeah, he was pretty cut in this movie.
Whoa.
Yeah, he's pretty wild.
Yeah, freaking Arnold.
One of the funny things is that the director wanted to get as little clothes on Arnold throughout the movie as possible.
Yeah. Oh, he didn't wear much.
Yeah, because he really wanted to show off the physique for the ladies. But what was weird is like at a certain point, so
for
like,
that whole PG crowd.
Yeah. So at a certain point, like the entire movie, Arnold's just basically wearing like a Speedo, like a furry Speedo. And then at a certain point, he has pants on. I turned to Jude. I was like, where did he get pants?
Yeah.
Like when did he change?
It just happened weirdly. Yeah. He like walked in. He started a fight. suddenly he's wearing pants, and then when he walks out, he's not wearing pants anymore.
Oh, this is interesting. This is a recurring Arnold theme where he steals someone's pants at some point.
Mm-hmm.
He looks at them and goes, yeah, you, give me those. That's
like, I need your
like in Terminator. Give me your
Terminator 1 and Terminator 2 and Terminator 3.
Uh-huh.
I mean, all of them. And Conan the Destroyer.
Yep.
Stealing pants.
Well, they never told us where he got the pants.
He's so wacky.
I get it.
He got them out of Bombata's backpack.
Oh, well, those are like size.
Bombata!
It's like, Bombata! It's like a 28-inch waist and a 58-inch leg or something. Like,
here's
crazy.
Here's what happened. They started climbing up the rocks.
Sure.
And Arnold was like, hey, man, it's cold in here.
Yeah.
I need some pants. And so they go, okay, get Arnold some pants. And they didn't give a crap about it anymore.
I'm having shrinkage.
I think it was actually because he was doing like a very intricate fight scene and like they didn't want, you know, him to just be in his underwear.
Like his ball kept popping out.
I don't want my dick to get spilled.
So every time, like, his dick's out again. God damn it. Dick wrangler, get
it's
in there.
It's supposed to be PG. God
take
damn
that
it.
Dick in there. Like, well, we just give him some pants. I'm like, fine.
He's basically just wearing a furry cup most of the day.
Yeah. So.
That's what I want out of my barbarians.
Yeah, for sure.
That's exactly what I want.
Yep.
I want completely shaven.
Loincloth.
I want 2% body fat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
At least 250 pounds.
About 3 feet of hair.
Oh, I need a lot of hair.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No hair anywhere except the top of the head.
Yeah. And it's all of it.
It's glorious.
Yeah.
It's a lion's mane.
Uh-huh. Yep. A leather strap to keep it out of your face while you're fighting.
Sure. Well, that's just function.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know. Yeah, of course. And now you have a proper barbarian.
Right.
Yeah. That's it. That's all you really need. You can give him any weapon. It's fine. You can give him a bone or a log.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't really matter. As long as they look kind of like He-Man.
And they got to do some flippy dippy stuff with the swords.
Anybody
whatever,
can do that.
Whatever weapons they have. They got to make it look cool.
They can train people to do that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can do it.
The added accessories can be like the straps that hold your swords on your back.
Yeah.
Your boots.
Sure.
Can be a moccasin if you like.
It could. No, I don't think we like gladiator sandals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah. Like made of leather, obviously. Or a hide.
A hide of some sort. Yes.
Yeah. But I'm saying, like, I'll take a little fringe. That's fine.
Oh, fringe is fine.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You definitely do fringe.
You gotta have a bone medallion with some shit.
Love a good bone or a tooth. Not bad.
Or a necklace made of the penises of your defeated foes.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Scrotum.
Everyone takes trophies, right? This dick is mine!
Conan, why are you taking that guy's dick? I need a trophy to put around my neck.
Yeah.
It's like, you're making it weird, man. It's what I do.
Yeah.
This one's very large. Yeah. No, that's a regular size one.
It's what we do in Samaria.
Conan would never put penises around his neck, okay?
Yeah, Crom demands it.
Oh. No. Crom, to hell with Crom. To hell with you,
the mountain.
So you know what I found interesting about this movie is that in the first Conan the Barbarian.
Are you saying Conan or Conan? Those are two very different people.
Okay, whatever. In the first Conan movie.
There we go.
It's better.
It has one of the most iconic themes of all time. In fact, it's like one of the most used trailer themes ever because it was so good. The music in this movie I found very strange.
It was all very like
it's the same
we're at a
music,
carnival.
Guys.
I don't think
it's the same fucking music. I'll bet you anything.
Google will prove one of us right.
I will bet you your severed cock.
Oh yeah,
it's the same music.
It's the same
fucking music.
That song lives in my head.
It's Basil Poldouris, I believe, is the dude's name.
There it is.
And it's they just recycled the music from this first movie.
Well,
they don't have the opening thing that you're thinking of. I can't think of the name of it, but now it's a very famous piece. But the music in this movie is the same as the first movie.
I don't know about that because they got a different composer for this movie.
It's the same fucking
music. It's the remix.
it might be some remix in
just
it, but
DJ
it's the same
Khaled
fucking music.
Yelling his name all the time.
But DJ like, Khaled.
The music that was playing when they were doing a lot of the fight scenes was all very like.
It was upbeat.
Yeah, it was weird. It was like a carnival.
Yeah, no, there's a difference. Well, I think there's a Conan song that still remains.
It's all recycled and repurposed from the first
But there's like
movie.
This like fruity tootie kind of like elvish fantasy song that's also played.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole new thing, yeah. And that one sucks. That one's stupid.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that was the one that they played through most of the action scenes, which I found odd.
Maybe.
No.
I don't know. I wasn't paying that much attention.
I have memory of hearing that song during that fight.
Yeah.
So therefore, you're
wrong.
I don't think that happened.
Your brain could just be putting it in there. Like you see,
like the Mandela effect.
Well, no. Like when you see something and it triggers something, or you smell something and you're like, that reminds me of this.
When the queen commissions Conan's adventuring party, she sends Bombata with him.
Bombata!
Because basically, like, as soon as the princess does her duty, Bombata has to get her away from all, like, the thirsty dicks that want to fuck her.
Well, yeah, and he has to keep her a virgin through the mission.
And then he's got to get her back to the queen so the queen can sacrifice her in the ritual that she wants to resurrect this god.
Yeah.
So basically, Bombata is there to kind of help them get to the point where the princess can retrieve the magical horn. but then afterwards, he's all about fucking over Conan.
Yeah. There's like a precious jewel or stone or something she has to get first. And then after she gets that, she can go get the horn. But she's the only one who can touch it. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, anybody else who tries dies.
Yeah.
Magic, so wizards.
That leads us to basically the biggest set piece in this movie, mm-hmm. which is basically a take off of the Enter the Dragon Hall of Mirrors thing, where Conan gets trapped in this mirrored chamber mm-hmm. in the middle of this magic castle that has like the jewel that the princess has to get. And he ends up having to fight this reptile. I guess they call it Ape Man in the movie, but it was like this half man, half reptile.
Half lizard dude.
And this was actually, I thought, probably the best scene in the film. I really enjoyed it. And Conan discovers that in order to hurt the monster, he has to start breaking the mirrors around the room. And I just thought it was an interesting movie. I wanted to get your guys' take on it, this one set piece. Jude, what did you think of the Hall of Mirrors?
Good, clean, fun. I love the Hall of Mirrors.
What did you think of this, Tom?
It's fine.
It was really, really neat.
Let's just keep this conversation rolling.
I liked how he discovered it, first off, because it was an accident.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
And he smashes a mirror with his sword and on accident, and the guy hit it. But I kind of appreciate it because it's your classic, it's almost like a Dungeons & Dragons trap room.
Yeah, I said the exact same thing.
And
yeah.
I thought it was kind of neat how, you know, he accidentally figured out how to get out.
It was a fun barbarian with low IQ conquering the wizard.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm having fun with it. Yeah,
it's pretty basic when you get it right down.
Look, the movie's great, except for the movie.
Right,
right. It's a really fun movie.
No, I had fun with this movie.
It's just not. Yeah, it's just not great.
But it's not a. It's just. It's a PG.
Yeah, it's a mess.
It's it's like watching a TBS barbarian movie.
It's a Saturday morning Conan.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, oh boy.
It's like it has a higher budget and a lower budget at the same time.
It feels lower.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it does. It does feel lower budget.
Yeah. I
mean, James Earl Jones was in the first one. So we're not talking those like,
right.
I mean, he was like an actor then, you know what I mean? So they had people in the first one and it wasn't cheap. It felt fine, right? It was low quality, obviously, the first one. Mm-hmm. This one's obviously more money.
Wouldn't say it was low quality at all.
The sets are very minimal. There's very, very, very little extras. There's very, the sets are very simple. They're recycled over and over again. It's pretty low budget. But this one, there's more special effects. There's, you know, all they had that smoke dragon thing that had to cost $1 million right there.
Put that together on a Commodore 64
in the 80s.
Yeah.
Oh my god, there was
that was hand animated.
Yeah.
Oh, that probably makes sense. Yeah, it's cheaper that way. But yeah, you're right. It is a really fun fantasy movie. It's just not a very good Conan movie.
Yeah. No, yes.
That's it.
I think your Saturday morning cartoon analogy is appropriate.
Because it feels like...
It could have been like an adventure, a Scooby-Doo and Conan adventures or some shit. You know?
It's not that far off from Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
No.
You know what I mean? It just feels Power Ranger-y to me.
Yeah.
The everything's gumball and everything's cartoony and everything's...
I watched...
that's terrible.
It's all magic and no warrior.
There you go.
So for some reason, I somehow got pulled up on my TV last night, Conan 1. I was watching this, and I watched the orgy scene, which is where the music is from, the fairy music you guys are talking about.
Oh, you're probably right.
No, I know I'm right. And
this is why no one talks to you, Vader.
And but you know, you were saying the first movie was cheap and everything, but it's not, because that scene, it's just that one scene alone. There's something different and more epic and
that's not a scene
about it.
That's literally the bathroom at like the Chinese band's theater. It just looks like that. It's like terrifying. with human heads and shit.
Yeah. I mean, it's just the first movie has a epic, bigger, mightier, whatever feel to the whole thing.
The word you're looking for is more badass.
Badass. Yeah, that works.
The first one's way more badass.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
You know, in the Hall of Mirrors scene, one of the things that really took me out of the scene is so the character of Malik, the, you know, sidekick thief guy, throughout the course of the scene, it's supposed to be cold in there. And so what the production did is they gave actors these little cages that they would put in their mouths that would hold dry ice, you know, keep it from burning their tongues.
Yeah.
But then when they would breathe out, you would see like their breath. And apparently Tracy Walter was the only one who actually like had the balls to use these things. And so he's constantly blowing smoke out of his mouth, and it doesn't look like breath at all. It's like looks like he like took a puff on a cigarette or something like that.
A vape.
Yeah, yeah. And he's constantly just vaping throughout this entire scene. And the entire time I'm sitting there watching this, I'm like, what is coming out of his mouth? Like no one else is doing that.
Exactly what you're talking about, because I think the exact same thing every time I see the scene, because it's awkward and it doesn't look cold. And they're just blowing smoke out of their mouths.
Yeah.
Yeah. Practical effects.
It's only that one character, too. Like,
practical effects.
I didn't see anyone else do it.
I think Arnold did, too. Yeah.
Maybe a little bit.
Yeah. I just looked up something, and I'm actually really surprised because the budget for Conan the Barbarian was actually more than the budget for this one.
That makes sense.
It was $20 million for the first one and $18 million for the second one.
Isn't that something?
There's no Wheel of Woe in this movie.
That's true. Yeah. And they already made the sword, so they had to remake the sword.
I'm pretty sure they recycled all the armor. Because it's even snake armor from the first movie. If you look at it closer.
Yeah, it's pretty recycled.
Yeah.
So one of the things that really bugged me about this movie was a joke that they kept repeating at the end of this movie.
Oh, my God. You got so twisted.
I did. So, like, Malik keeps talking about his cousin's sister's brother.
My cousin's sister's brother dug his way out there when he was a prisoner at Shadazar.
And he says this multiple times throughout the movie. And in fact, him and Mako have an exchange where he's like, your cousin's brother's sister. And he's like, no, it was my cousin's sister's brother. And the entire time I'm sitting there, I'm like, that's his cousin. Cousin's sister's brother.
He had
brother.
To stop
cousin's
the movie.
This is figured out.
Brother. I think, I don't know what that is.
It's his cousin. So like he has his cousin's sister is also his cousin, and his cousin's sister's brother is also his cousin.
Cousin's brother's former roommate.
Exactly. Yes.
So what does that make us?
Absolutely nothing. But they kept referring to this line. I was like, is this supposed to be funny? Because like, it just doesn't make any sense. But that's just my brain, I guess.
I think what you're saying is basically the trope of the whole movie. Is this supposed to be funny?
Yes.
Like, what are they doing here? Like, is this a comedy? Why is this a comedy? Yeah,
and I think that's why this movie has not aged as well, because they've doing all these weird little comic gags.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like what's the little thief dude's name?
Malik.
You know, rubbing the cream on Grace Jones's thigh and stuff. It's like, that was very suggestive for a PG movie. It's like, what you doing?
It was the 80s.
You know, and then they made a joke about, you know, I can't even say it. Got to clean their wound.
Yeah.
It's like, God damn, that is really nasty. it's just, you know.
It's very suggestive. Kids don't know. Like Shrek. No. Like Shrek is basically 100% adult humor, but every kid likes Shrek. It's like one of those things.
I don't think this movie was marketed as a kid movie, though.
I think it has. Half was. I that's the problem.
I don't remember it being marketed like that.
But. Yeah, but that's the problem.
Didn't they come out with like Conan toys for kids?
Oh, well, yeah.
Well, so
that was their Pokemon.
That was the 80s.
Fairly good point.
There's all kinds of R-rated movies that had kids' toy lines.
Yeah, Rambo.
Oh, yeah. That was.
Yeah, but not Rambo 1.
That was
Rambo 2. Rambo 1 was just like some crazy homeless guy beating up cops. And it was like, okay, we can't make toys out of this.
Yeah, Rambo 2.
Yeah, they're Rambo 2.
Part 2.
I mean, that was what was cool about the 80s. People didn't give a fuck.
Oh, things, I would say the toys came with everything.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, wait, what came first, the toy or the thing?
You could go to McDonald's and get a fucking Conan Happy Meal, probably.
That's probably true.
Yeah. It was,
this burger will destroy you.
It would be Burger King. Yeah. I don't think McDonald's stooped that low. But Burger King would jump on that bandwagon in a heartbeat. Put a little sword in there.
Yeah. The Mac Barbarian.
Yes.
Here's your Conan sword murder toys.
Fun. You know, fun.
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure you could buy a plastic Conan sword with daggers and like a little belt that you could like wear the shit around on. for sure. Nowadays, they'd have the sword would have to be pink and made out of fur.
Oh.
And, you know, so kids wouldn't be able to hurt each other with them.
Well, Nerf's still pretty fun, right?
Nerf's fun. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I really just want the ability to hit you with something and it not hurt too much. It's really what every young man wants. Yeah, but,
I
mean, right?
I come from the era, and most, I think you probably do too, is like where we didn't have to have red tips on the tip on our toy guns.
Because, sure.
You know, and they had caps and they made noises.
Yeah, we had cap guns that started fires. And they just put us out in the streets with a bicycle. Yeah. And they said, go drink out of the hose. Uh-huh. Don't come back in.
There's way more fires being started today than there was back then.
That's a good point. Right.
So there was one more big set piece I wanted to talk about before we get to final thoughts, and that is the ending where Dagoth gets resurrected. Mm-hmm. And we have not only a fight between Conan and Bombata. But we get a fight between Conan and Dagoth, where basically, in order to defeat the magical, mystical, resurrected god, Conan has to like tear his horn off.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So he has to get him less horny in order to defeat him. Mm-hmm. And
which is the moral of the whole movie.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Don't be horny.
Yeah, don't
be
horny. Fuck that girl.
She's 14.
Yeah, not yet.
Wait 2 years. These are kind of like fights that are going on back to back. And of course, like this is where he magically gets his pants back. But I wanted to get your guys' take on the climax of this movie and what you thought about
climaxes and
horniness.
I don't like the way you worded that.
14-year-old girls in see-through outfits. It's just
dirty words.
This movie is vile.
PG.
Actually, I would like to propose a question on this one.
Okay.
If you had to choose between the sword of Conan and the mace of Wilt Chamberlain, which one do you like better?
Oh, sword.
I'm going with the mace.
Sword.
That thing's way more fun.
I feel like I could do more damage with the mace.
Yeah. Things like, it's like a weird beak
I'm
on
no
it.
Swordsman, but yeah. I think I can wield a mace.
Yeah. You just crush stuff with that thing, right?
Yeah.
I think a sword, you actually like have to like train.
Yeah.
Right?
You have to know how to use it.
I mean, or you're going to lose it.
Stick them with the pointy end.
That's it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you have that club. You just start smashing stuff.
Yeah.
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 Just
like,
a stick
like
with
zombie apocalypse happens. Which one do you want? Mace or sword?
I'm going mace. Yeah.
I still think a sword.
It might depend on the type of sword. Like, are we talking
about
like
the
like
sword of
God? We should call our sword guy up.
You're being at my house this weekend. You pick this goddamn thing up and you see if you can kill anything with it. It is heavy as shit, man. I'm very strong. And I'm like, okay, all right, oh boy. I'm like, I need a third hand for this one. The end of this movie is awesome. It's the end. They take all the bubble gum out, and it's just fighting and monsters. And the monster's fine. I like the monster. I think it looks cool enough.
I thought the monster was hilarious.
It's fine. It's cool enough. It's cool enough. It's got a little vagina mouth and a penis horn. There's weird virgin stuff going on in the whole movie, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But the fight's fun. Wilt Chamberlain, the whole thing's fun. I like the end of the movie. I even like the snot coming out of the horn. And I don't know why they decided that. It could have been anything, but like snot.
Green gooey snot. Yes.
Bubbly. Just let it bubble out of there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that was jizz.
Oh, do you think he pulled it off and he wasted his seed? And now he can't.
That was the life-giving
seed.
That's going to make it weird.
Yeah, I read a really weird book recently.
I thought the horn was pretty gross, to be honest.
When Conan's pulling it off,
it's got all tendons and veins and shit connecting it to the. They did a really good job with that, actually.
Yeah,
yeah.
The end is pretty good.
Yeah,
it's just the build up to the end.
The end really isn't PG.
No,
I mean it starts off with
it is for the '80s.
Not really, because first off, Grace Jones gets up there with her stick,
and
she spears that priest right through the chest.
That's fine.
That's pretty gnarly.
As long as there's no ample amounts of blood, you can kill anything you want.
And there was no red blood. It was green goo.
Yeah.
Right. That's the point. Like the '90s should have taught you that you can kill 100 people. It's
PG-13. As long as it's not real.
As long as there's no blood.
Not real blood.
Yeah. And you don't kill any women either. You kill a woman, it's rated R now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you notice in the beginning when Conan's fighting off all the guards that are trying to capture him with the nets? That there was a couple parts in there where he like would slice them and the blood would splatter out like in the first movie.
Yeah, I did, but then you
didn't see it again. I don't think after that.
They tricked you.
Yeah, it's like they're trying to pull some shit there.
The tell for that is they keep doing these weird cut-to shots of Conan like chopping through the air.
Right.
And you're like, oh, this is going to be a mess. Mm-hmm. And it was. Yeah.
It's like, he's not really fighting anybody when he goes,
Yeah. It was just this weird, like, camera work. And they're like, this is what it looks like if Conan killed you. I'm like, I don't like to think about that.
Mm-mm. Right. I think it's might be why I kind of like, I mean, I like the action in the Momoa movie because you actually see him fighting people and stuff. But you know, this is
Momoa was badass at one time.
He's a pretty decent Conan. I don't feel like it was his fault the movie sucked.
I don't blame him. I don't like Jason Momoa at all. So
I think he was fine.
The movie was bad.
But we're not talking about that movie. But yeah.
We're talking about the other bad Conan movie.
well, speaking of bad Conan.
Yeah.
Tom, do you have any final thoughts and what rating would you give Conan the Destroyer?
Oh, God. That's really hard to say. Mm-hmm. It's not fair. It's not fair to rate this movie.
Pretend you're 14.
Oh, it's at 5 stars. Well, 14 years old Thomas loves this movie.
Well, that's who it was made for.
Look, any movie with a sword, I'm going to watch it eventually. It doesn't matter how good it is. I'll watch it eventually. Yeah. I've seen every American Ninja movie. I've seen Blind Fury. You name an obscure movie with swords in it, I've probably seen it.
Well, I think you just answered your question.
Yeah. No, I love Conan. I love this movie. It just sucks. and that's the problem. That it should have been way more fun. It should have been a better adventure. They should have cut down on the goddamn campiness. They shouldn't have had the weird alcoholic uncle in there. Mm-hmm. The casting was, Grace Jones was stupid. Don't put Grace Jones in this. Give me somebody else. Give me Red Sonja. Red Sonja was in the same year, wasn't it?
It's close.
I think so.
It was right around the same exact time.
Yeah.
And you could have put her in there. Why not? You know, just give me somebody else. The casting is ugly. It's clunky. The acting is terrible because no one's an actual actor.
Next year, 85.
No one's an actual actor in this whole movie.
Mm-hmm.
And they just shit it out. And they said, here, eat this. And I took a couple of bites, and 14-year-old me was like, I love mac and cheese. And now I'm like, mac and cheese is gross. I don't eat that shit.
Oh, I love mac and cheese.
Nah.
Right out of the box.
I'll eat it. I'll eat it. I'll like it. Just like I like Tombstone pizzas. It doesn't mean it's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is the thing.
What would Totino's you rate it?
Pizza? Oh, those are good, though.
What star rating would you
give? I told you it's a 5.
Oh, my
No,
God.
It's not. It's awful. It's a 2. It's a 2.
That's fair.
And the only saving grace is Arnold's fucking awesome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that Andre the Giant is the monster at the end. And I just found that out today.
Half star for Andre.
So that is, there's the extra half.
There you go.
It should be a 1-star crap fest, but it gets a half just for having Arnold in it and another half for an uncredited Andre the Giant.
I'll go with it. Give me some knuckles.
That's right. Decent. I'll take that.
All right. Matt Vader 74. Any final thoughts on this movie? And what rating would you give it?
Oh, I'm right there with Tom. 14-year-old me loved this movie.
Loved it.
Four and a half stars back then. You know, like it's not.
You're still stingy as a 14-year-old.
Listen, Conan the Barbarian.
Oh yeah.
Has always been a 5-star movie for me.
Oh yeah.
Always. Never not been a 5-star movie for me.
So good.
This is not Conan the Barbarian.
Nope.
Not even close. It's a wannabe movie with the same some of the same people in it and. They recycled armor. They recycled Arnold. They recycled the music. It's a lot of recycling going on in this thing, and you can tell with this movie. That being said, I still enjoyed the shit out of this movie when I was 14 years old. It would probably be an easy 4-star movie. I haven't watched this movie. It's probably been 10, 15 years maybe since I've seen this movie, and I was expecting to hate it, to just want to rip it to shreds. But when I was watching it last night, I kind of enjoyed myself in a weird way. But I can see its flaws now. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah.
Just like it's not great. It's right around like you said, a 1.5, 2-star movie. I'm gonna bump it up just a little bit. I'm gonna go 2.5, simply because it's Conan.
Yeah, I get it.
It's 0.5-star for Conan. That's it.
You know? I get it.
So I'm going to go 2.5. I feel dirty now knowing that she's 14. It's kind of gross because they were kind of gross by putting her in like that really sheer.
It's very sheer.
Thing. Yeah.
I want to say you can see her naked in this movie.
It's super close.
It's super close.
It's especially at the start when she's laying on the bed with her little silky nightgown.
I'm trying not to think back on it. I think it's illegal to think about it. So
yeah, it probably is.
But
it's just it's one of those things that should have been better than it was, and I wish it had been better because if it had been, maybe we would have gotten Conan the King or something, you know, afterward. But unfortunately, we didn't. We're never going to get it. Arnold's aged out. He's too old.
He's very old.
Yeah,
Yeah, he doesn't look good.
So maybe we'll get a Momoa version of Conan the King.
Which, he doesn't look that great.
Or a deep fake DH version.
That could happen.
Momoa's looking fatter every day.
You know? Yeah.
Like, he's real puffy.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's been carved. Yeah,
have you seen that new documentary? It's like a 4-part.
The Arnold one?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I couldn't believe how much I liked it.
He still has his sword and he still wants to make that movie.
I love it. I just don't think he'll hate it. No. I loved it. I couldn't believe how much I liked the documentary. It was great.
Yeah, I actually have, I think I'm about one more episode. But,
it's good.
Yeah, 2.5. I'm gonna give a 0.5-star for Sven. That was a good fight scene with him and Arnold.
There you go.
2.5 stars.
It's always nice to see Sven.
With the deep cuts.
It is. So Jude,
yes.
Any final thoughts on what would you rate Conan the Destroyer?
So I had never seen this movie before, but I thought that I had. And what I thought that it was, I think, was I was getting it confused with like Conan and Red Sonja. Mm-hmm. I thought I was getting Red Sonja in this, and I was really excited for it. And then when I like started looking it up on IMDb when we started it, and I was like, oh shit, I don't think I've seen this before. And it was really disappointing. What I thought I was going to get wasn't what I got. It was so campy. And I think Tom hit the nail on the head with it earlier when he said, like, if it was a fantasy movie, I think I would have loved it. But because it presented itself as a Conan movie, I was like, what is this shit? So, and I'm gonna do what you guys did. 14-year-old Jude would have given this a 1-star crap fest.
Oh.
Adult Jude today, who appreciates movies, who loves fantasy, I'm going 2.5 because it's not what it claims to be. It's fine. It's just not that good. It's not good, but it's fine.
Yeah.
Like you said, like, if I was giving this a star rating for just a fantasy movie, it would be higher. It would probably be like 3, 3.5. But because it's saying it's a Conan movie, I'm like, no, it's not. 2.5. Two and a half horns on Godzilla.
Saturday morning Conan.
Yep.
So I think I liked this movie more than the rest of you did. I actually had a lot of fun with it. You're right. It's not a good Conan movie.
Yeah.
Arnold Schwarzenegger's character talks way too much in it.
Yeah.
In the first Conan movie, he was very sparse with his mm-hmm. dialogue. In this one, he's just chatting up
the
storm.
He's showing off that he lost some of the accent.
Yeah, exactly. There was not enough kind of barbarian elements to it. Not enough gore, not enough nudity, all that good stuff. But I found it better paced than the original Conan because like I just feel like I get bored very easily watching Conan the Barbarian. Whereas with this movie, I was kind of like along for the ride, and it is campy. And I think that's what I liked most about it is that there was a lot of stuff I could complain about and be justified in it. But I didn't hate it. And so I'm going to have to agree with Tom though. This is a 2-star movie out of, you know, 5.
Wait, you just said you liked it better than the rest of it, but you gave it a lower rating than both of us and the same as him.
Yeah.
You are an enigma.
Well, I mean, objectively, if you look at this movie, it's a 2-star movie.
Okay.
But I enjoyed this 2-star movie more than so I thought
we're all,
I would.
We're all in the twos.
It's the McDonald's cheeseburger.
Yeah.
Like, we all like it. It doesn't mean it's good.
It's the Happy Meal.
Right, it's gross. But it's you can enjoy terrible things.
Oh, for sure.
This podcast has proven that.
And we all do.
Yeah, everyone who enjoys this podcast is liking terrible things.
There's a few people that like us out there. A few. Don't know why, but there's a few.
Yeah.
All right, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to our review of Conan the Destroyer. As always, if you want to help support the show and you want to get some exclusive content in exchange, go to saltynerdclub.com in order to sign up for our Patreon, or you can join our membership area on YouTube. Either way goes a long way towards supporting the show, and we also pump out a lot of great original content for you guys who give us money. So we appreciate that. And if you'd be so kind as to go to Apple Podcast and leave us a 5-star rating, we're trying to get as many of those suckers as possible so that we can apply to become actual movie reviewers on Rotten Tomatoes. So if you want to see our Conan the Destroyer review on Rotten Tomatoes, you know, give us those 5-star ratings. Anyway, guys, thank you all so much for being here today. And thank you to my wonderful, fantastic panel nerds. Hopefully Alex escapes Europe eventually and gets back so he can take over hosting duties because I hate doing them. But Stunt Cock Tom, thank you so much for stepping in and, you know, doing your your duty as our stand-in guy for our host. Really appreciate it.
Do your arm sore.
That's what I got to do, right? Get you in there, boys. You know, sometimes someone's going to step up and review movies that nobody wants to watch. And I just like to be that guy. Mm-hmm. I just love it.
Oh, I appreciate you. I liked watching this movie.
I've seen it so many times. It was just like playing in the background while I was like doing stuff. I'm decorating my house at the moment.
I have
a very busy week.
For not watching this movie for so long, I probably didn't need to watch it again.
Yeah, you don't need to.
But I kind of had forgotten the one part in the middle where they get the horn. It's really strange. It's like, I forgot this part of the movie existed. Because to me, they went from the castle straight back to the end fight. But whatever. It's fine.
There you go.
It don't matter.
All right, everyone. Thank you all so much for tuning in. And if you haven't already, subscribe, like the video. And we release new reviews every Friday. So, you know, tune in. And thank you for watching us. And stay salty, my friends.
Bombata!
Hey guys, if you like this podcast, don't forget to like and subscribe to the channel and comment below on your favorite video as well. That goes a long way with helping us boost our channel and get out there in front of more people. And it lets YouTube know that we're doing something right. And if you want to catch us live, we go live 2 times a week, once on Saturdays at 10 a.m. Pacific time and on Tuesdays at 1:30 p.m. Pacific time. So join us there in the chat. We will see you on the live stream. Stay salty.